Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, and with me today, as always, is our eternal co-host, Jason Kirk. Jason, how are we doing today?
Very good. I bring to you the sounds of lawn mowing. It is late October, and lawns must be mowed. That is essential for that to happen. How are we sounding? How's it coming through? How's the lawnmower aesthetic coming through?
I think it's just at a lovely simmering sort of froth in the background. Like we're by a fountain, but that fountain is made of roiling lawnmowers.
That fountain is made of blades.
The fountain is made as that's a famous Italian saying. Never ever trust the third Tuesday of the month, and always the fountain is made of blades.
Is today the third Tuesday of the month? Did you just pull that out of your...
I have no idea.
That's close.
I know.
I like that I had to check the math on that.
Somebody pointed out that Tennessee and Alabama did not play their game on the third Saturday in October. They actually played it on the fourth Saturday in October this year. And that is something I would not have known with 300 glances at the calendar.
It happens sometimes. It's happened a few times, and I think that's the only reason Tennessee didn't compete all that well. If Bama hadn't been scared to play on the third, Tennessee would have fared much better, I think.
Also here is our attorney, Ryan Nanny, here to keep us out of trouble. Hello, Ryan.
No, it's not that. That's not what I do here.
That's what you do here.
It's not even slightly what I do here.
Please, it would be worse.
All trouble that follows is Ryan's fault.
That part is true. Perversely, okay. That part is true. Just the other part is not.
Okay.
How are we doing, Ryan?
I'm good. I don't have a good reason why I have been out for recent episodes. I just had, like, family stuff. Holly's the one who is living Moss.
Living Moss. Holly, hi.
Hi.
Where you been, porch cat?
Meow. You know how you said I was gonna go off into the woods or I was gonna die?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I laid this all out on Twitter. I don't want to get gory. I'm going through some injury issues. I'm an injury scratch. Y'all, it turns out it's possible if you are lax enough about wearing your night guard that you're supposed to be wearing because you grind your teeth. It's possible to be lax enough to grind your teeth to the point where you crack one of your back molars straight in half like an iceberg. And it's also possible, if you're real, real, real talented at it, to crack that tooth all the way down to the bottom, and which would require a root canal. Except sometimes the root canals fail, and sometimes you then develop a nerve infection that spreads to your jaw. And if it sounds like I'm talking through clenched teeth, I kind of am. So I'm going to be in and out for the next few months on the show. It's looking like I'm looking at a couple of surgeries, but I am hoping to rest up and get in some playing time where I can, and yeah, come back strong in the off season.
This sucks. That sucks a lot.
It really does. So I've been gone for the last two shows. I'm probably gonna miss some more coming up, but I love y'all, and every time I'm not on the show, just remember, I see you.
I hear a hall.
We appreciate like your warrior mindset.
Thank you. I'm happy to be powering through here as I sit here in my very fancy face brace.
Can we call you the Panopticon? Is that okay?
Please do. That sounds okay. Lovely.
Yeah. In the time when you are going to be literally unable to talk less, you will actually grow more in terms of power, thus becoming the Panopticon. Seeing everything that the Shutdown Fullcast user does on a daily basis, be it crashing lawnmowers, be it stumbling and injuring yourself severely in your own house, be it making ill-advised late game wagers on fourth quarter point totals.
Sees incognito mode even clearer than non-incognito mode. That's how
powerful she is. Cognito mode.
All is cognitoed.
Also, these are most of Santa's powers, so
that's true.
Yeah,
Holly is now like Lord of December.
I used to be married to a person who told me I had a lot in common with Ultron, and I don't think it was a compliment at the time, but now I'd like to think it's maybe just my next form. Anyway, that's where I've been. I'm going to be appearing even more randomly than usual for the next little bit while we try and
fix your face.
Jaw back together.
Fix your face.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, it hurts to laugh, which is something I didn't think about.
Well, luckily you came to the Shutdown Fullcast where
where we don't tell jokes. Anyway, it's really good to be back. I miss you guys and I miss doing the show. And also, I'm supposed to be on fucking vacation right now. And my entire vacation has been spent in the emergency dentist, so that's cool. Anyway, that's festive. Let's go back to. So anyway, this is stressful. Is all I'm saying. It's a stressful time.
That's all right. We're gonna do.
Can I share a lesser stress real quick?
Fuck yes.
It's not as important. I want to make clear this is not as important, but
sure it is.
Jeff Fisher.
I just decided.
Jeff Fisher was connected with the USC job yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then was quickly disconnected from the USC job because that's how these things work.
No.
But there's a thing. First of all, I want to say condolences to Jack Del Rio for not even getting mentioned when the USC job comes open. Like,
that's sad.
That's a rough time for the rhythm.
Fallen off of the guest list, which is tricky. But people, you know, because people make jokes, not us obviously, but people, they've said, oh, well, Jeff Fisher can't go to USC. Because he can't go 8-8 there. And we're closer to that being wrong than people realize. And I want to walk you through that really quickly.
Hawaii game.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it, yes. So here's what has to happen. There's one thing that hasn't happened yet. We have to expand the playoff. But the conferences have been very open that they want to do this, including the Pac-12.
Right, they like money, right?
And beyond expanding the playoff, we need automatic bids for the conference champions. But that also seems like something the Pac-12 is kind of like, if we're doing this, the Pac-12 is not interested in like, how can we get more SEC teams in? Like they want a spot. They haven't had that. They've had two. Washington, technically you count. So that's the first step we need that isn't true, but everything else is correct here. So
Ryan, one thing just to add in.
Yeah,
they'll take it because the Pac-12 actually has no power in any of this. Theirs is, yes, sir. Whatever everyone who actually has a functioning football conference will do, that is what the Pac-12 will do, and they will pretend like they had a hand in it.
Pac-12 is extremely Lucius Malfoy. Extremely. Look at my sweet beach hair. I tremble before you, Dark Lord.
Extremely Italy in every international incident, right? Yeah. Like, what did we do? We solved the problem. You're like, sure, Italy. Sure
we made
did.
Wine. That's what we did. We're the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. Our troops have wine. You can trade with our troops.
Scottsdale's finest wine for you. So here's how you can go 8-8 at USC. Step one, you got to play your 9 conference games. Let's say you go 6-3 in those games. USC did that in 2015, and by virtue of a tiebreaker, won the Pac-12 South. Now you have your three non-conference games. Let's say you lose all of those. You're 6-6.
Possible.
Holly pointed out that if you play Hawaii, you can get one extra game. That's built into the NCAA rulebook.
If you play Hawaii at Hawaii.
At Hawaii, yes. Yes, if you play Hawaii on the road because they want people to actually spend the time and the money to go play Hawaii, you can get one more. Let's count that as a loss, too. You're 6-7. But I already said you've made the Pac-12 championship by virtue of your conference record at 6-3. Let's give that to USC as a win. They're 7-7. And because the Pac-12 champion has an auto bid to the playoff, despite being 7-7 and assuredly not in the top 25 because they lost on the road to Hawaii, among other things, USC is in the playoff. They win their first round game. They're 8-7. They lose their second round game. They're 8-8. It's actually not hard at all. 8-8 is completely within the realm of possibility, and I believe it is Jeff Fisher's destiny to go 8-8 as head coach of the USC. I just wanted that out there.
This hey, is Jeff, good. This Mama's is brilliant. Calling. This is important
it's me.
Work.
I'm Mama.
I want to note that Jeff Fisher 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could push that as well.
Yes, yeah, you would need a little bit of chaos in the conference, but I think you can make that work.
Or say Utah and UCLA are your first and second in the Pac-12 South, but they're both on NCAA sanctions. They're bowl banned.
Sure.
Or say don't play Hawaii at all, and we go 6-9. Huh, Jeff?
I like the idea that Utah...
Something to think about, Jeff.
I like the idea that Utah has incurred NCAA sanctions somehow, but please.
Yeah, for being too swole.
Yes,
I think would be the
right.
problem.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. It's too burly. Far
like,
too
clearly,
burly.
You know,
Kyle Nebraska, Whittingham, your hair is too nice.
Nebraska,
it turns out, has been cyberbullying like the mayor.
Nebraska got in trouble for practicing too much, which was not really evidenced on the field, at least in week zero. But perhaps Utah gets dinged for lifting too much.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they have rhabdo of the eyebrows. I didn't know mm-hmm. that was a thing.
Rhabdo heart.
How do you feel about Jeff Fisher doing this and going 8-8 or 7-9?
I'm not hiring him to coach.
You hired to coach him.
I'm not a USC fan.
I sort of feel, kind of good and kind of bad. Sort of. I'm sort of, on the fence.
Are you saying you're 50-50?
Oh, I'm kind of 50-50 on the hire, to be honest. I did have something else to point out that just came across the timeline. It's from David Jones on Twitter, columnist for Penn Live. James Franklin has twice said in his current Zoom conference call this afternoon, when asked about distraction of his future being in the news, speaking of USC, that his focus is on Illinois. The next opponent is Ohio State. But hey!
He might not be wrong there.
He could just still be trapped in that moment.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't get out of 18-16.
I mean, I'm still thinking about Penn State, Illinois. What's wrong with still thinking about Penn State, Illinois?
Also,
I think one thing to consider is, people took this as a denial of interest in the LSU or USC jobs, but could it in fact be interest in the Illinois job once it is vacated as Brett Bielema takes the LSU or USC job?
Brett Bielema at LSU.
SEC West experience.
SEC West experience.
Brett Bielema would only need to tattoo a cauldron beneath the Hawkeye tattoo on his leg so that it's being lowered in to make a delicious soup.
Could it be on a spit, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
They're spit roasts. I like those. Oh, that means something else.
Oh, God. Listen. Yeah. I wish we were on video now because we all just sat there and let that.
Yeah. I'm not
going to. I was waiting to see that wash over us,
so to speak.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I
thought we were safe after we stopped talking about Jeff Fisher, and then you did that.
Nope. Dove right into it.
Yeah, that's also what happens.
We had this experience at work one time a while back, and we were just doing an ice-breaking exercise. And boy, now that I've said that this happened at work, it really doesn't sound like a work-appropriate activity. But something happened, and we were just building a giant comedy pyramid in the newsroom over making up names for sex acts that we could say that I forget which congressman was. It was Mitt Romney or some shit. And at one point somebody said, oh, I don't even remember it. It was like a, like the double watermelon carry or something. And a kid in the middle of the room's head turned around and he just locked eyes with our boss and he just shook his head very slightly. I'm like, oh, wait, did we get a real one? And no. I can't remember the exact name now where I would look at it. It was something to do with watermelons. And anyway.
Full Gallagher.
Congratulations to Spencer.
The full Gallagher? What is that one?
It was actually,
it's when you stomp on your partner's balls.
I was going to say it's when Gallagher shows up to your bedroom and starts hitting watermelons while you're having sex.
That sounds delightful.
That would be it.
Hey, everybody, notice how you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway?
This is where it's important to remember that Gallagher sued his brother for trying to be Gallagher.
This is his brother's last name is the same, I assume.
Yes, yeah, but he went out on tour as Gallagher 2, T-O-O, and Gallagher was like, fuck that, I worked too hard. I built this empire. You will not ride these watermelon-stained coattails.
You will not take... Man, I want to know, by the way, like, Gallagher must have had at one point a great agent. There are people who are famous who mm-hmm.
You think Jimmy Sexton had him?
Who I do not know. Ooh. Yeah, Jimmy Sexton. That would be great if Jimmy Sexton's first client was Gallagher.
First client.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You know what? C1. C1. Right in the door. Client 1. Gallagher. Mm-hmm. Second client, Jimbo Fisher. Those are the people I built my entire empire on. Jimmy Sexton, mega agent, just gives people money.
Listen, Tampa Performing Arts Center, you're going to pay Gallagher $2 million or he's walking. He's not going out there tonight. Shit!
I bet he still commands amounts of money that would appall you if you do.
Gallagher?
Yeah.
No. Gallagher.
What amount wouldn't appall you? For Gallagher
for a single appearance
from Gallagher, what number wouldn't appall you?
Keynote like, speaker Chuck Gallagher.
What is the proper amount?
Live event. Okay, go ahead. Let's everybody guess. I have it up here.
I think you can get Gallagher for $15,000.
I am gonna bet you can get him for like $8,000.
Okay.
And expenses. There's going to be some expenses.
No, yeah, I'm assuming expenses as well, yeah.
Wait, Spencer, you just said that you thought he was still commanding ridiculous amounts of money. Do you think $8,000 is ridiculous?
For Gallagher, yes.
Okay.
For Gallagher.
Gallagher makes $72,000 a year, and Spencer is furious.
Jason, would you like to hazard a guess? I will tell you both that you're both way off, but I'm not going to tell you in which direction.
Okay, that's fine.
I have already been studying his website, which includes a tab called Poetry.
Fuck.
Oh my god, this poems are very long. Very, very long.
That's what you're paying for.
That's it. He's gonna show up and he's just gonna read blank verse at you.
$30,000.
How much?
$30,000 to $50,000.
What?
If there are any public school teachers listening to this, I'm sorry. Sorrier than I usually am.
He did have Jimmy Sexton. I think that proves Jimmy Sexton was
Jimmy yeah, Sexton is be. Gallagher's agent.
Fuck.
Because Jimmy Sexton's gonna get James Franklin so much money.
In football news, Gallagher has January 12th, 2016. He wrote a poem called "I Kicked Football." It's about no longer being a football fan. January 12th, 2016.
Oh, is it? Can I guess why he's no longer a football fan?
That's why I'm quitting Twitter.
Does it have something to do with the anthem?
Nah, just big Broncos fan who's frustrated at the team's lack of direction.
So he's from North Carolina, lives in Ohio, and moved to
Super just Tampa. Hung his head in shame.
Tampa.
He's a Tampa product. Yeah. USF was not involved in the 2016 college football season. So I'm trying to find out what dissuaded him. So this would be after Clemson beat Alabama. I doubt that would sway him all that much. Although that did happen in Tampa. There you go. That's what happened. He saw that and said, I'm retiring on top.
I have my suspicions as to why he might not be a football fan anymore.
I'm excited because there are going to be some people listening to this who don't know who the fuck Gallagher is. And at no point have we stopped and explained.
Gallagher is.
Sure.
Hey, at least we stopped and explained who Spencer was. And frankly, that's all we can. Baby steps.
I would like to watch a drama all about Gallagher deciding who will be the heir to his throne a la Succession. Like, exactly note for note Succession, but it's Gallagher instead of a media empire.
Who will be the true...
from Daddy's mallet.
Who will be the true Gallagher 2? The true Gallagher 2.
And, like, the L's become, like, a Roman numeral 2?
Yep.
Yeah. Who will inherit my tarps?
Oh, it's Shiv. Shiv Gallagher.
Shiv... Gallagher saying fuck off.
Fuck off! It won't be that hack carrot top, I can tell you that.
That's a very good Gallagher voice,
Server. Yeah, that's amazing.
I developed it along with this great tool. It's called the Sledge-O-Matic.
Spencer, I think you might be onto something about why Gallagher got rid of football.
You think?
Oh, no.
I mean, what do you mean, you think? I don't know anything about him other than he hits watermelons. I'm reviewing his poetry, okay? And he has a poem about Obama. Wasn't a big fan. So I'm going to go ahead and conclude that you were probably right.
Sure.
About his issues with the sport of American football.
He's got a lot of my pillows.
Okay, I'm shocked. Really disappointing he wasn't at the Capitol.
How do we know he wasn't?
Because there would have been watermelon splattered on an American flag or some shit.
No, he's very
sneaky. Wasn't me.
Well, who's
they
got the watermelon?
They didn't pay him
buddy.
$50,000 to smash watermelons.
That's
there,
true.
So he didn't.
That's true. Yeah. He didn't show up. Yeah.
It was Gallagher 2.
It was Gallagher 2, the perfect crime.
I really don't think, like, I'm aware of Gallagher and, like, watermelons, but I really don't think I've ever seen or heard anything.
If you are in our age cohort, if you are in our age cohort, you only know who Gallagher is because you watched too much Comedy Central after school. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that wouldn't have been me.
Yeah, or your parents. My parents went to numerous Gallagher shows.
Numerous?
Numerous.
Wow.
Yeah, multiple.
I cannot fathom the repeat value of a Gallagher performance.
You go and watch a dude hit watermelons with a hammer. Evidently it was wildly entertaining. Also, please remember, we're all overstimulated. The threshold for human entertainment is actually very low. Very, very low. There was a man named Lepetamane who used to tour France farting. So he would now to be clear.
Was he French or did he Is this an American who went to France on a farting tour?
Oh, yeah, it's Brett Bielema's stage name.
Yeah,
guys, here to play a couple songs for you. I call this one Moon River. No, well, yeah, Lepetamane. He was just an amazing farter, and he could fart musically. And yeah, so just in case you're like, man, who would go pay to see Gallagher? There's been worse. There's been way worse. People went to see Illinois football. They paid. Somebody paid to go see.
We went to Vandy, UConn.
We paid.
We sold out a tour.
Sure.
Yeah. It happens. People's actual entertainment threshold, very, very low.
People listen to this podcast.
Thanks for sticking with us, everybody.
That's right.
Thank you for supporting the Shutdown Fullcast, which just passed 4 million downloads this past week since our rehoming to Learfield IMG. Thank you so much.
I'm just a dog with behavior problems.
How's this?
This podcast is not good with kids, but it has a big heart.
We're not a breed for the unexperienced handler. Okay.
If
you're some simple, basic Acela corridor nabob, okay.
This is a Jack Russell Terrier with diarrhea and anxiety, but in the right hands, he will be a good addition to your home.
But no anxiety about the diarrhea.
That's right.
None.
Very,
absolutely
very
none.
Comfortable with the diarrhea.
That's but confident.
The diarrhea itself is the affirmation, the mantra for...
This pit bull ate a hole in the wall of our trailer, but he's real sweet. That's the full cast.
How many downloads do we want to claim before that? Like, just make up a number,
seven.
Any number.
Just
like
seven.
We know the
huge
the,
growth.
We had 30,
the four
tell,
plus, the four plus
story.
Since is accurate, but before in the before times, the great shady mists. We could just put any number there.
12. 12 downloads.
Okay, yeah. 4,000,012.
And then Server came on board and to the moon.
Just like Jesus, we had 12, and then the number took off.
You are welcome.
Thank you to the apostle Server.
Also, we hung Spencer from a tree with 30 pieces of silver lodged next to his nards.
Best night of my life. Yeah, so...
Oh, I got it. Bro's Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
No? No?
No. Chimes. We wanted to do something that was going to be, yes, lighter. Yes, a little break in the action. It's November. I'm starting, it's coming up
on
November.
It's not November.
It's October 26th. It's October 26th, but we are coming up on November. And both Richard and I, like, we were doing the show this week.
Who's
were like,
Richard, what show?
What show?
When I was doing Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network.
Okay.
Richard Johnson. Will remain a mystery.
Richard Johnson, who my co-host
Richard Gallagher.
On the show, Richard Gallagher.
Not a big fan of Obama.
It's now the time to confess to our co-host that I made a Word doc for Spencer that just has like lines for introduce Jason,
we're past
introduce
that.
Ryan, introduce Ollie, and he's been reading off it, but now he's at the end of it, and this is what happens when he's freestyling.
This is like when you run out of scripted plays. You're like, well, just time to dip into the playbook.
Do you guys remember that SNL sketch from like 1991 where
it's Tom Hanks' head wound Harry.
No, it's Will Ferrell as a weatherman and not Anna Gasteyer. Nancy, what's her name? Who's married?
Sherry O'Terry, isn't it?
Is it Sherry O'Terry? But the teleprompter goes out and they go completely Lord of the Flies on this like Good Morning Tucson weather station.
Oh, yeah.
Tim
yeah.
Meadows is the weatherman.
Yeah. Somebody holds up like a severed limb at some point, I think.
Yeah, they saw off Tim Meadows' head because they can't get the teleprompter to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey Spence.
Hey. So we wanted to do something that was a little more relaxing because as my co-host on the SEC Network's Thinking Out Loud, which you may view on Monday at 7 p.m. on the television
Richard
of
Gere.
Your choice or DVR, Richard Johnson.
It's Gonson. It's with
Richard Dawkins.
Like I found the track and y'all are just yanking it back off.
Well, sorry.
Are we? Yeah.
So we were talking. We're like, this is the point in the season where we get slightly tired. We're like, this would be nice to have like our own bye week. So the bye week we have chosen, so to speak, is a brilliant fantasy draft idea that Jason came up with. Jason, hit us with it, baby.
Yeah, as you know on this show, typically week in, week out, we bring you nothing but hard-hitting football analysis, and this is the week that we have chosen to step away from that.
Thank you.
This week and only this week. We have numerous episodes about certain topic areas that we come back to from time to time. Fast food, we hit fairly recently. Video games, that's one that goes hand in hand with fast food that we have not discussed in quite a while. So thought about doing a sort of a desert island fantasy draft based around video game franchises. If there were only a small handful that you could ever play ever again, which one would you prioritize? Which ones would you try to cling most desperately to? I have created a spreadsheet and we'll figure out a way to tweet it out so that you, the listener, can play along. But, first up, the five of us, including, of course, Captain Cerber, are going to draft. And as we go, feel free to explain. Feel free to, internally evaluate each series and so on and so forth. I have randomized the draft order, and I have included a big board of literally hundreds and hundreds of franchises, most of which I've never heard of. And Holly is up first with the first selection on the board.
What's up? Oh, wow. While I am sorely tempted, don't look at my fucking board.
Mm-hmm.
While I am sorely tempted to snake from Spencer because he was reading the names aloud as he made his draft board before the episode.
Pulled a Jerry Jones on putting the posting the board on TV.
I'm
sorely tempted to snake from this. I'm taking not my first love, but certainly my longest lasting and most satisfying video game relationship, and that is the Mario Kart family of events.
Incredible choice.
Thank you. I quite agree. We should probably explain also why I am only taking the Mario Kart games.
Yes. The games that are listed on this giant doc specifically come from the Wikipedia of video game franchises, which breaks up Mario, a few others as well, but Mario is the main concern. There's so many Mario games, and like, if you got every Mario game, that'd be kind of the obvious choice, but having to break it down further just to keep things fair. I still think Mario Kart is an excellent suggestion. It was number one on my board as well.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry. I figured I would
No.
I figured I would stay away from GTA and like My ceiling for video games is extremely juvenile. Like, my tastes in video games have not really evolved much past Nintendo 64. So I figured that I will be drafting free and clear of most of you.
I have a prediction for Ryan, and I'm going to share it with Holly just as a personal, like bet between the two of us as to which one.
Are you Mel Kiper-ing me?
What are the stakes of this bet?
I am Mel Kiper-ing. I'm saying on your draft board, here's what you need organizationally.
Fuck. Now I'm tempted to go in a different direction.
Oh, okay.
What are the stakes of this bet, though?
He just showed this to me. I don't really understand. Do I have to take a side against this bet?
No, I just want it recorded, right? Just
okay,
like witness.
Oh, you want right points.
Right.
This isn't
I'm going for right
bet.
Points because
okay.
I think he's going to select, if not this, then the next round.
Well, that's great. Yeah. I can't wait to find out.
I just want to know, if we're assigning draft grades, Holly gets an A+ on the first pick.
Thank you.
Yeah,
hands down without
question. A+, yeah. Top talent.
Yep.
Okay.
Ryan is up next.
So I have the next pick. Spencer's trying to get in my head. I'm going to put that over here. I don't have time for that. I want a series that has a wide repertoire. And I also want something that there's going to be more of in the future. I am trying to future-proof a little bit. I want something that I have a good assembly now, but also has room for development. And that's why I'm taking The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, brutal.
God
brutal.
Damn.
That's what I
absolutely
thought was going to be
brutal.
First on Jason's board.
Oh, I'm kneecapped, man.
Also, Spencer, you really thought he was going to take Dr. Mario?
It's the only game he has joked about consistently for the entire time that I've known him.
Like, he was completely convinced
done,
that you were
I am
take
so
Dr.
like
Mario.
You're going to pick Dr. Mario.
But
I know it. I'm just going to put it out there.
Even if he was going to take Dr. Mario, like, my actual favorite childhood video game is like my fifth pick. Because I know nobody's coming for it. Like, you don't need to spend a first rounder
on
Dr. Mario.
I can't.
I thought he had the passion for it.
I love
Dr.
Mario.
I was wrong.
It's the only time I've ever heard my mother-in-law call her own son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be very honest. Legend of Zelda was my intended pick. But when you were like, I think I know what Ryan was doing, my first thought was, well, I'll go pick Dr. Mario instead.
Vindication!
Hand to God. So Spencer does understand some broken part of me, but yeah.
Jason, how many rounds are we doing?
We're going to do three, and then we're going to do a mystery round.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ryan, obviously, A+, incredible pick. If we were basing it strictly on how much I love each series, this would have been number one on my board. Mario Kart is like sort of, you know, it's fun for all ages, fun for the kids and so forth.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
Zelda
I have a fucking...
for sure would be your top one.
I have a fucking Zelda tattoo, so yeah.
Yeah.
This is a pretty brutal snipe, but excellent choice, A+ selection.
Thank you.
The depth and breadth of the series, unparalleled. Mm. And Cap'n Serber is up next.
Mm-hmm. I think Ryan had some good reasons what he wanted out of his pick. I want one thing, and that is blood, and I draft Mortal Kombat.
That is interesting.
Somebody, let's just get a clip of Server saying, "I want one thing, and that is blood." And let's just
I
keep
want
that
one
handy.
Thing, and that is blood.
Yes, indeed.
I think that's a great pick because they've done a lot to deepen the lore and the backdrop of that game while keeping the essential gory, rip your spine out,
folks.
Yeah.
Sound off in the comments if you give a shit about Mortal Kombat's lore.
Hey, someone does.
Spencer breaking open the Mortal Kombat Silmarillion.
Cerber is with me. I am right.
Wait, is that how you say that? I thought it was Silmarillion.
Salamander Millionaire.
I don't know.
Did I just heartsell myself? Am I
Godfrey's somewhere stomping up a storm, I'm sure. Don't worry.
It's still Milt-Lillian. I would like to offer that getting lost in the crypt is a game in and of itself within
See?
All the Mortal Kombat series. Like, you could literally, for all the story you could do, or just the tournament mode, or just the head-to-head shit, like, you could also just go into the crypt for, like, 4 hours and try and find shit.
I would also like to put in another point in defense of this. If this is a, as Jason said at the beginning, a true, you know, literal as literal as we can make it, desert island draft, that means that on this desert island, you have, like, stand-up cabinet games, too. That's a nice change-up, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because if you are on a desert island with only video games to entertain you, do you want to be, like, sitting in the same beanbag chair in front of the TV the whole time? No, you get up, stretch your legs, go over to the console game, and, like, play
for
it joystick style.
And also, like, one of these bags... one of those big cabinets. That's good for, you could use that for defense.
Shelter? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could anyway, I like this strip it for parts.
Cerber, were you allowed to play Mortal Kombat as a child?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I played it with my dad when I was
hell
like four
yeah.
Or five.
Yeah.
On Sega, not nearly as cool, but on Sega Genesis, which is mm-hmm. just what we happen to have.
The Sega, which had blood, SNES did not.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and Super Nintendo, I believe, this and Street Fighter, I believe, they replaced the blood with a vomit. Or indoor sweat. Which,
yeah. Wow, we made the game really sweaty.
Each game company is assigned a humor of the body, and Neo Geo got yellow bile. And that's why they haven't succeeded.
Neo Geo, which costs like $250,000 a machine or whatever, that's the one where everyone in Mortal Kombat is shitting and farting as they punch each other.
What'd you decide to go with? We went with jizz. It was weird.
Jizz isn't a humor.
It's humorous, though.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There's a guy named Jax. Of course there's jizz.
Oh, y'all, we forgot to talk about Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of both jizz and humor.
Speaking of jerk-offs.
Anyway, moving on.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Spencer as the next pick.
Oh,
thank you.
No.
Yeah, no, I thought that was the transition.
Oh, that's absolutely where I was going.
So, I recognize that this pick is for talent and maybe not organizational, like, health. Sometimes you just want to grab the best player on the board.
You're not prioritizing organizational health?
No. I am going to go ahead and make a sentimental pick. I'm picking the Red Dead franchise. I understand it's only two games. Or three games. There's Red Dead Revolver.
Three.
Yeah, you get Red Dead Revolver. Mm-hmm. And I'll take all the DLC. There's a wacky whole world of DLC and an utterly broken online multiplayer, like a completely broken multiplayer.
You get the big horse. You get the big horse.
You can get the big horse. He is your friend. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take Red Dead because I could replay at least two of those games probably 10 times each.
That's a good choice.
It's a tricky choice for the Desert Island one because so much of the Red Dead experience is about, like, you gotta scramble and make do. And I don't know on a desert island if you're like, time to unwind and go on some pelts.
I think it will be because on a desert island, you just be like, man, do I have to eat another crab? And
sure.
Meanwhile, like, you know, you're bringing down like buffalo.
And you can just punch strangers and there's nobody on the island. So you can go talk to
people.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And you can refill your moral meter by saying, howdy.
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 Let's also point out Red Dead 2 has both desert and island. So you're getting valuable life skills that will serve you well.
Training.
I am up next with the fifth selection, and whew, my board is decimated losing Mario Kart and Zelda. I'm gonna take a big swing. All right, we're gonna go for pure entertainment value and Metal Gear. Come on down.
Oh, yeah,
hell yes.
I want a franchise that will teach me about the world, history, psychology, genealogy, religion,
geology.
Politics,
science,
futurism, body
pooping.
Horror,
yeah.
International finance.
And there's like 10 games, and half of them are good, and half of them are horrible. And I'm looking forward to getting to parse which. Yeah, and I'll learn real life tactical skills from when my island is invaded by like a senator who can tackle me.
I will hide in a box.
Yeah. I'll have to, so there's so many Metal Gear games that'll be delivered in a box, and voila, now I'm invincible.
It will be very stressful when you realize you can't Fulton extract yourself from your desert island, though.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you figure it out, maybe you can
just do what I do in the game, which is try to Fulton extract everything. If you meet like soldiers, you know, Fulton extract a rock, Fulton extract
God's hug.
You're coming with me. All right, so at the end of the first round, we also have sort of a wild card that I have titled The Public at Large. What I have done is I have listed out each franchise according to all-time sales figures. These will now be removed one by one. First off for four is say goodbye to Tetris. Which there's recently a new edition of Tetris that is supposedly the best ever. I don't know. It seems like they're probably all very similar to me. All right. Beginning round two, public at large again gets to choose one. This one is probably not high on any of our boards, I'm going to guess, but still, it's a consideration. Call of Duty is now off the board. Sorry to Eminem and all who listen to Eminem, but Call of Duty is no longer available. Also, the commercial for this has the worst song I've ever heard in my life. The latest 7,000th version of Call of Duty, it's playing during football games. Worst fucking song I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, God, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Slam Through the Witches and Dagula, as covered by like a coffee shop band or something. It's the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life.
And now we're the Acoustic Rob Zombie tribute band.
I too really appreciated Rob Zombie back in his analog days.
Corn Cob Zombie, the bluegrass band that plays nothing but Rob Zombie.
So let's see here. With my next pick, I'm going to take NCAA college football.
Ooh.
I now have all of the ones in the vaults, and if they ever make a new one, I get it shipped to me on my island.
Fair enough.
Do you get that mod with all the new shit on it? Like, do you have a J-tagged Xbox on the island with you?
Yeah. I've just decided, now that you mention it, that's coming with me, too.
Nice.
I can start my Grand Canyon University dynasty from my island.
I believe
Spencer, you're up again.
I am, and this being a desert island, and I want a franchise that's really going to take me through long periods of time, and it is on the board. I looked at it just to make sure because there is some PC overlap, but I'm going to take Civilization.
Oh, shit.
Off the board, because I thought, as an answer, like, what game have I actually blown the most hours per game? Not total. Because the total is NCAA football. I've played that more than I have played any video game in my life. But which one per game has the highest hours per game, right? And it's Civ. I can't get out of a Civ game for anything less than 2 hours a set. It's not going to happen. So I will do Civilization, also enjoying the irony of sitting in my Civilization-free outpost while building an entirely new
recreating
civilization.
Society.
The only thing more ironic would be if I had picked Far Cry.
I can actually give you one more thing that would be more ironic, and it was on my board before I realized this was the Desert Island Draft.
Hmm.
I had Animal Crossing.
See,
which drops you on your own desert island.
I might take it. Yeah, but
playing Animal Crossing on a desert island would be like playing The Sims
your dorm. If you want to talk about fulfilling organizational needs. That is a game about fulfilling organizational needs. Tom Nook is the GM, and you're just out there prospecting.
I definitely would not have survived year one of COVID without Animal Crossing.
That is correct. So I'm going to go ahead and take Civ off the board.
Strong. Shrewd.
Strong
you could
pick.
Easily start one game and blow through a week. kill a week of clock on the desert island. I have amended the big board. I realized NCAA was not included in Wiki's list, so going forward it will be there. You may vote to overthrow me as commissioner. That's fine. That's your prerogative as GMs. But going forward,
on all your success electing Alabama's homecoming queen, by the way.
What does that mean?
Oh. You know what? I'm just going to give you an article to read afterwards, and you can catch up. There's been some truculence and some shenanigans at the. Do y'all really not know about the Alabama homecoming queen?
I heard about
thing?
It.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, we need to just have Alex McDaniel on the show because she's way more plugged into this than I am. I really only know about it because, as a Tennessee person who grew up going to Third Saturday games with, friends and family members who were of Bama extraction, the election is right around this time, and there is a shadowy political cabal on the University of Alabama's campus that controls student government elections, including for some reason homecoming queen, and is like a feeder program into corrupting local Tuscaloosa elections. And this year's election was an especially contested one, so it's always a good time.
Exciting.
Also, Spencer just left the room, so let's see if we can draft for him.
Well, he misses pick. Is he like the Vikings?
No,
he just
made actually
pick.
He did the shrewd
thing. I
actually
forgot that he
picked
3 minutes ago. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess I tried to Vikings for him and it didn't work. That puts
Cerber
up, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
Spencer has somewhat inspired me with his Civ pick. I wasn't going to do this, but then he reminded me, yes, I probably would spend 30 hours in a week on Total War, the Total War series.
Wow,
that
strong.
Includes Shogun, mm-hmm. Rome, Napoleon, the Barbarian Invasion. And then you told me mods were available, so that really opened shit up. If I can go to the forums and get a few mods. So I will go with the Total War series with my second pick.
Strong. Very nice.
And also a lot more, still more blood. A lot of blood. Still, I'm going to be very alone and
so
very
you're,
violent.
You're working through some stuff, it sounds like, on
this
island.
So.
But you're learning a lot about history, both mm-hmm. both our worlds.
No, I mean,
it's
the diplomacy is an important part of the game, guys.
No, I'm saying it's good to work through stuff. Better than keeping it bottled up.
Let's see here. Ryan.
This is tough.
Yeah.
Because
you really want to take Dr. Mario and it's still on the board.
I mean, you don't want
Spencer to be right.
No.
Follow your heart.
No.
Follow your heart.
That's not my issue.
Follow
my
your
issue
heart,
is that the Super Mario series is on the board. And mm-hmm. that's a very good roster.
So strong.
But I feel
I'll tell you right now that if you don't take it, it's not making it past me.
I know. But I don't want to I don't want to be spiteful and just take it for that reason.
Oh, do it.
This is a game,
Ryan,
and the game is the game.
Do it for that entire churning Reddit hive that thinks I'm trying to bully you off the show.
You'll win.
I mean, you are.
You'll win.
I know. I'm excited.
I'm gonna
take roster you'd have with Zelda and Mario. Goodness.
I'm gonna take Rock Band. I'm gonna take Rock Band.
Ooh, a different kind of throwback.
Yeah. I like this because it kind of it's kind of like dual entertainment. I'm also just like listening to a wide variety of music, which is a good thing to have access to. And not in the way of like, oh cool, I own one Madden game, so now I'm going to listen to the same 8 songs until I die. And yeah, I think like Rock Band, I haven't played it in a long time, and it feels like it has fallen out of favor. But when it was fun, extremely solid individual game, party game, whatever.
I'm just seeing you alone on the desert island with the mic in hand, singing, they don't love you like
Queen.
I love you.
Yep.
Oh my God, this would be your time enough at last where you finally master, was Mississippi Queen Guitar Hero or a Rock Band?
Rock band.
You get to the end and he turns around and he's fucking nailed it. And just there's no one there.
Can we get guesses from each of you on how many songs Ryan would now possess if he had the entire Rock Band series?
Including like the expansions or whatever?
Every
all of them. Every single Rock Band song.
700.
I think it's over 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go 3,000.
Okay. Cerber, what you got?
I'm trying to think how many would just be the... Because he has the entire Beatles catalog.
Right.
Oh, shit. That's like 700 songs by itself.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go with 4,000.
Okay. If we're including Beatles, then I think Spencer would be right. Because the Rock Band Wiki itself says 2,529. And that's without including either the Beatles game or the Green Day game, which I didn't even know about.
I won't be playing the Green Day game. I won't
Beatles one includes 45 songs.
I'm an American idiot.
So I would say Spencer's closest to 3,000.
Yeah, that's. I feel great about that.
That's like. Let's see. Just even if you set it on just autoplay, mm-hmm. that's 10,000 minutes. That's 166. That's an entire week of music right there. An entire 7 days of music you could have on loop.
just sitting there playing Lazy Eye by the Silver Sun pickups in the middle of the jungle.
That sounds incredibly soothing.
He's just playing Just What I Needed by the Cars over and over and over and over again.
Is that so hard to believe?
No, it's not.
Looking at a toucan and going, I'm wasting all my time.
Also, you're getting this is an excellent upper body exercise.
Oh,
play
yeah.
the drums for a couple hours and
you
feel it.
Yeah.
You're going to get mean. Listen, I think you could spend so long on the island you might actually master the drum part to No One Knows by Queens of the Stone Age.
And then I'll be rescued 10 years later and everybody be like, "Yeah, you still can't sing for shit." God damn. Yeah.
you can say words in rhythm though.
Spencer has unlimited like music references from 2004 to 2006. I was like, who's the next one? Because these like all... Maps and Lazy Eye are both like very, very much
they're
like
both
not,
on the first rock. They're both on the first Rock Band.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm
tacking them. Yeah.
They're both only on like the Heat Seekers chart too, though. So that was my thought. I was like, he's only listing stuff from Fuse the Dive in 2000.
No. Silver Sun Pickups got an early. I will tell you how I came to Silver Sun Pickups. They had an early Adam Freeland remix, which was my entree into that.
No, but first Rock Band, Maps. I believe we had Lazy Eye.
You got Gimme Shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got. Fleetwood
I believe
Mac,
more than a feeling. More than a feeling was in there. I believe.
You got Go Your Own Way.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got some Paramore.
Cerber, I'm dropping this in the chat because it just slaps, and I feel like you need to know about it.
There was Rage Against the Machine Testify.
That's the one I want to see Ryan do in the jungle. That's the one I want to see on the beach.
He's going to have some pent up anger out there.
It'll be like the music video from Wayne's World. You remember?
Testify!
Now I want a full day of Ryan doing Beastie Boys Sabotage in the jungle by himself.
Listen, with the costumes and everything. Yeah.
Listen,
don't
all y'all meerkats
me.
And whatnot.
I'm fine.
Rock Band is a fantastic choice. That's easily a top five choice now that I actually think about it.
Yeah, that's excellent. Hey, you know what's expensive? Video games.
Knives. Oh, shit.
Dow.
Parliament.
No, that is true. Parliaments of knives. No, video games. They're expensive. Easily, I spend, I think, 35% of my take-home pay on Robux alone. How do I keep it going? How do I plan for the future when my two sons, siphoning me dry as they do, will only increase in their thirst for video game cryptocurrencies so that they can buy special in-game trains? Not that I'm speaking directly from my personal experience, but I am.
How much does a train run you these days?
500 Robux. They only sell them in increments of 400, Ryan. I'm so glad you asked. Is this predatory pricing? Do I want to punch some random game dev in the face over this development? You bet I do. But you know what? I don't do that. I'm an adult. I solve my problems, and I prepare and invest. I invest.
Well, if you are looking to purchase $500 worth of fake trains, you will be 1/100th of the way to your destination if you create an account at acorns.com/fullcast. And then each time you purchase a fake train, a portion of that purchase will go into your Acorns account. And eventually, if you buy enough trains, you will have enough money to retire and buy a fake train and live in it, which I believe is how retirement works. I'm from the 1920s. Except I have access to the internet, and thanks to that, I can go to acorns.com/fullcast and get my free $5 worth of trains.
So to be clear, Spencer, your sons are taking from you in digital trains, and you are saving for them for their futures as well, knowing that those futures will be more digital trains.
Yeah, yeah, and knowing that the return on investment in the digital train market to this point... is negative.
So these don't work like NFTs? Like they're not NF trains?
They stand... You know what they stand for? Nifty fucking trains.
I mean, what more do you want than that?
Yeah, yeah.
Why they gotta make money? Why can't you just enjoy the nifty fucking trains?
I do.
Railway magnate Hall family. I love this. This is a great journey for you.
On a train.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, and I'm glad Acorns is there to be there every step of the way. As I plan my financial future around my son's freemium and in-game video game purchases.
Oh, what's that? The next stop is homefieldapparel.com. Well, passengers, buckle up.
Toot, toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
Homefield Apparel today dropped 4 new schools. I'm going to see if I can do them from memory. I know there's Georgia State. There's Troy. There's Furman. And I believe the 4th school they dropped was Lamar.
That sounds right.
So as always, our friends at Homefield dropping new and exciting schools, adding new shirts for existing schools all the time, new designs. We are pretty firmly, I think we are past fake fall. I think we've nicely sort of exited that at this point.
I think we're into autumn 1.0.
Yeah. So now's the time to start increasing your crew neck and hoodie supply, which you can, like, can you ever have too many options? No, you can't, because unless you own literally every home field sweatshirt, which if you do, congratulations to you. You are probably a digital train magnate yourself. There's always room for more. And when you use offer code FULLCAST, you get 20% off. You're increasing, some say, dangerous supply of fleece. They're cotton, but whatever.
Your first order, at least. So
that's right.
If you have this would apply if you have come into a large a possession of home field gear and are looking to add your own touch to it with your purchase of your own.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm especially fond of the Georgia State drop because it has the old, like,
MC Scat Cat.
It has the old MC Scat Cat. It does.
It
kind
of looks like Spencer when he takes his glasses off.
It kind of does. Yeah, like me and MC Scat Cat.
Holly is up next with two straight selections.
So, a quick word of wondering at the commish here. Question is the word that I was searching for.
Yes.
I am ultimately going to have. We're only doing three rounds.
Three rounds plus mystery round.
Will the mystery round be a game selected of our own free will, or is that what makes it a mystery?
I won't be assigning anything, but the let's just say the list will condense somewhat.
Ryan, in actually very typical Ryan fashion, Ryan has fucked me over here by being a nice guy. Because he's left me with three choices that I really, really, really want to make. And I just assumed Mario would be gone by this point.
What are the three?
So, the Super Mario franchise represents probably the one that I have sunk the most into as a child. Because, again, I went straight from Nintendo to Super Nintendo to 64. And then didn't really play video games again until the Switch came out. And the amount of time that I have since sunk into, specifically, like, Mario Maker 2, into Wii Universe Deluxe, into, of course, Odyssey, which was a fantastic game. In terms of, like, the game that I'm going to... The biggest universe of games to bop around in, like, I still love Super Mario World. That's probably still my favorite. I could happily spend hours at that game. I'm not really worried about Mario saturation, because I don't feel like you spend too much time in that world, like, playing Mario Kart. But my two favorite games to play as a misspent child and teen are not in the Mario universe. They are in much smaller franchises on their own. And if I take the Mario universe, not knowing what's coming in the mystery round, I'm going to have to leave one of them out in the cold, and either one is a heartbreaker. I'm going to go ahead and take... I'm going to take Super Mario off the board with
Strong.
My second pick. And if I had to pick three games within the Mario universe, I would probably confine myself to Super Mario World. I can't ever say the whole thing. Super Mario Brothers Universe Deluxe, the new one that they ported, the side-scroller that they ported over for the Switch.
Oh.
And Odyssey, which is just made with so much. I love games that you can tell people who made them loved them.
Yeah.
Really loved them. Just with little touches everywhere. And... obviously, I'm not much of a first-person shooter. Although, if there was more of a GoldenEye universe, it would be, you know, a lot higher up on my board. So that starts round three, right?
Yes.
Yep. You do. You go back to back.
So I don't know what is going to condense in the mystery round, but I'm going to take a gamble here because I have two remaining beloved childhood games that I cannot imagine living life on my desert island without. But one of them is fairly obscure. So I'm going to set that one aside for the moment. And just to be safe, I'm going to pick up Donkey Kong so that I can take Donkey Kong Country with me wherever I'm going.
Powerful.
This is a coherent universe of games.
I kind of like that. Like, I'm not worried about saturation. I kind of like the idea of having a contained sort of sphere for my entertainment. I'm sure I'll come to regret it, as with most of my desert island choices.
I think you have like 30, 40, 50 something games here.
Right, right. There. Like, I don't think I'm going to get bored because I can hop back and forth between, you know, so many different consoles.
Excellent.
But I am concerned because my all-time favorite game actually isn't a Nintendo game at all. It's a Sega game. I'm betting nobody else has it, and I'm worried I'm not going to be able to grab it in the mystery round. So there's still some drama here.
Yeah, it is amazing, by the way, how many amazing, legendary, large, profitable franchises are still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, folks.
I thought you were going to take Battletoads for sure, ma'am.
There are options out here.
Battletoads is on my board, but I decided I didn't want to be mad. I don't want to be mad on the desert island, and I'm just going to be mad if I take Battletoads.
You could leave me on an island for 40 years, and I still wouldn't beat the jumping level. I wouldn't beat it.
The jet skis level.
Yeah.
It's the jet skis for me.
Battletoads is a terrible game. It was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened.
It's an affront to God.
Ryan!
So, I'm going to try something very different with my last pick. Rock Band and the Zelda series are games I've played a lot. I know what I'm getting. I'm excited to go back to it. I'm going to pick a series that has some depth to it, or at least some breadth to it. But I've never played any of these, so I don't know.
Ooh.
Because I want to try something. If I just have these two, I feel like I'm okay. I'm going to make a reach and try for something that's a new experience. I would like the Halo series.
Oh, very nice.
Never played a minute of a single one. But I also would like the newness of that experience.
Ryan, I think, so according to the wiki, you're getting not only Halo, you're getting like Halo Tactics. Because wiki didn't break it up. So that's an excellent choice. Strong performances by Holly and Ryan.
Yeah, damn.
I really admire this strategy, Ryan.
Thank you. I also thought very, very, very carefully about taking Virtua Tennis. Because Virtua Tennis is fucking fun.
You're kind of on the same track with me in terms of thinking, and I'll show you why.
Okay.
When I unveil my final pick.
Sure.
Cerber, do you want the bloodiest game still available, I assume?
Duke Nukem!
Doom! This is totally going to be disappointing for everyone, not entertaining in the least. Super fucking...
I'm taking Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, super
shit.
Fucking nerdy.
Way more fucked up than Mortal Kombat, to be quite frank.
This is not a game that any of y'all would select. I wasn't like worried about anyone stealing this one. Jason, I already think I told you what I was going to select, and it's the Pro Cycling Manager series. Because the only thing I could spend more time on than Total War is Pro Cycling Manager creating a team and trying to win 7 Tour de France.
I've never heard of this game. This is like FIFA, but you're...
No, but you're I think it's more like football manager.
Yeah,
like
football manager, but bicycles.
Well, no, I think it's more like FIFA. So here's the thing. It incorporates the overarching, like, you can control everything aspect that is football manager. But there is actually a gameplay aspect to it. Like, you play each race, like you race each race, you control your entire team essentially, like you're in the team car as the director sportif, and it's fucking lame. I know
he's
super
got
lame.
The fucking
this is not lame. What the fuck are you talking about?
Because I understand the football manager mania, very real. If you start on it, you will not stop until you have taken your tiny little Icelandic soccer club with 30 fans, and you have gotten them into the EPL somehow. That is, you know, so you've
gotten out here saying, we're going to win the fucking Giro d'Italia. Don't fuck with me.
I fucking love this.
Not only am I going to win the fucking Giro d'Italia, I'm going to win the Tour de France, and I'm going to win the Vuelta a España, and I'm going to win the World Championships.
You're goddamn right you are.
You're going to waste Paris-Roubaix, right?
The hell of the North, are you kidding me? And then that's a whole other thing, right? Like, yeah. I could take Gent Wevelgem, Ron Von Vlaanderen, and Paris-Roubaix. So that's the Cobble Classic sweep. Or I could do the Ardennes sweep and win Amstel Gold.
I love the Ardennes.
You guys are making fun of me. LaFleche,
No, we're not.
You have nobody.
I've spent so much, like, okay, so June, July, we work at College Sports. We don't do anything. Like, we rewatch old games.
Don't tell anybody that.
Listen, I don't do anything. I don't know about these guys. I don't do anything. I just park it on Pro Cycling Manager when they release the new game every July. And the fact that I am a member of Le Gruppetto, a French cycling game forum for this game.
Nice.
For all the mods. Like, I wouldn't have picked this if mods weren't available, because frankly, they don't have the licensing for the entire world tour, or even the European tour for that matter.
Can I ask a serious question? How did you get into this? Like, were you into cycling and then this was sort of a side tour?
So, yeah, my best friend and I, we started a band in eighth grade. And after eighth grade, before freshman year, he just would come to my house every day in the summer and we would play music and we would just have band practice. But he came over super early because we had cable, which included the Versus Network. I think it was either OLN or Versus at first. Mm-hmm. And I got really into the race then because of the Schleck brothers, a couple of Luxembourgish riders who I thought were really fucking cool. And then we got road bikes and we started riding. And then I just got really into, I do own a Global Cycling Network login. Shout out to McMansion Hell on Twitter. She's the only cycling writer that excites me as much as y'all do when you write about college football. I highly recommend checking out derailer.net, her blog. She also writes for Cycling News as well.
I am overjoyed that you and I are like the only, you and I have overlapped on, of all things, McMansion Hell's love of cycling. This is the best.
Yeah.
I would like to back up for a second, because a few minutes ago, Cerber said you were all making fun of me. And it's true that we were all laughing. I feel pretty safe speaking for all of us when I say that we were laughing in delight. Okay. Like this energy, this unholy light that shines out from behind your eyes when you talk about the cycling manager game.
Yeah.
Dude, do you know how many hours I spent playing Animal Crossing during COVID?
Yeah.
Like this light that comes up behind your eyes, this is what makes it not a lame choice on its own. The fact that it can capture that much of your attention still after all this time and hold it makes it an ideal desert island pick. Like, this is a masterstroke by you, because you kept your first pick late and you got to spend value early. You're killing this draft, dude.
Yeah. It's a really big moment for me. I should admit this. I bought a PC gaming computer to play Pro Cycling Manager.
Nice.
It demands that level of power.
Okay. So I will take a video at some point of me playing this game. Like, it's like the GPS, like, mapping of everything and how realistic it is, and with the actual terrain, there's a lot of isolated objects.
Oh, so, like, you've got another little world to play with in there too. Like, literally,
absolutely. Like I can go to Paris any day I want. If I just want to play stage 21 of the tour, I'll go right down the Champs-Élysées, look at the Arc de Triomphe, the Eiffel Tower, all of that shit.
I'm cracking up because you sound like Felder, right?
Yeah,
now.
And then at the end,
Captain pours champagne all over himself.
I sure
He's
do.
Having a great fucking day.
Right before I go into the doping control and pee in the bottle.
I truly
cannot overemphasize how little we are, how we are not making fun of you right now.
No, this is the joy of being.
I hope the NFL owners are this supportive behind the scenes, man.
Yeah.
They're not.
They're not.
Jerry's like, you know, I play skeet with human people. I just shoot them out of a catapult and I just shoot them. Target shooting. And they're
Bob
like, yeah, man.
Like,
yeah.
I have other uses for human people.
I promise you, that's not how Jerry Jones plays skeet.
No.
Oh, man.
Is that the second one we've had?
It wasn't me. Yep. It wasn't me that time.
How about those Cowboys?
That's the second one since the draft began. There was a whole other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cerber, this is the coolest pick on the board.
Yeah.
This is by far the coolest pick. By the way, I think you've also.
I just love that this game exists.
That if you look at your picks, you have Mortal Kombat, Total War, and Pro Cycling Manager, and I see no dissonance between those picks. Pro Cycling Manager is about blood.
No, that's the three.
It's about endurance.
It's the three genders.
Yeah. Like, this is about pain. Yeah, I think this is
also maybe finishing school for like a European fascist general.
I learned a lot about blood from the other two, and then I learned about blood doping in Pro Cycling Manager.
Sure, there you go.
That's beautiful.
Who of the rest of us is doing continuing education? Not me.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Spencer, you're up next. Can I propose a stupid trade?
I'm all ears. I like stupid ideas. So,
I would give you Metal Gear for this pick.
Wow.
That is very strong.
Snake!
Oh my god, how didn't we think to do that when we were serpentining? We had a serpentine draft and just left the snake right here on the field.
No, I would, but unfortunately, you have hit me on my last pick when I need to fulfill a slot that Metal Gear does not. Believe it or not, Metal Gear does not contain within it every other kind of game. I know that Hideo Kojima would probably be like, no, it is a sports game. I designed it. It is a sports and a spirit game and also a shopping simulator. Yeah, like he would say that all of these things were true. They are not, and I need to make a very different pick. So I have a pick that I think is maybe kind of a curveball, but very much fits in with Ryan's notion and with Server's notion of having a repetitive yet expansive universe where you can play a game and sort of fill your own, you know, fill in the gaps in the story with your own characters and build your own little world, which I think is going to be very important.
Have Civ?
I do, but Civ is a real-time strategy game. It's not anything close. I need a sports game, like at all times in the repertoire, and I need a sports game that I think is going to be one where I can get a lot of volume, some variety, but enough consistency across the years of the franchise so that I get a definable product that I can play over and over and over and over and over again and never exactly perfect. And when I think about a game, if I don't have the NCAA franchise on board, I have to find something that comes close to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to select the entire PGA Tour video game.
Oh. I had a feeling you were going to go Tiger. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. The PGA Tour video game series or the Tiger Woods video game series? Because PGA Tour video game series is very recent.
We have some semantics because originally PGA Tour Golf in 1990 comes out and it evolves into the co-branded Tiger Woods 1999 PGA Tour Golf. So
according to the wiki, PGA Tour would include all of these things.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I did manage to get the lawyers to look at that before I made the pick. So not only do I get every PGA Tour game ever made, including every course, every build-a-player, which I gotta say, the build-a-player element of this, you can pick the kind of swing you have, including old man swing, if that's what you really want your player to look like. I am fond of making a guy named Red, who golfs in flip-flops, has a beer gut and no ass whatsoever, and appears to be somewhere around the age of 62 at all times.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, Go Dogs. Like, I basically make a dude from Georgia. And I'm never going to ever perfect it because it's golf. I'm going to keep coming back to it. So I get diverse geography. I can make multiple career modes, including across multiple seasons if I want. And I get, by my estimation, at least 25 games, including all the DLC. I'm going to be busy for a while.
It's a lot of golf.
Yeah.
That's a strong group. You got a story game, a strategy game, and a sports game.
Yep.
Strong all around.
Strong. I think we've all done pretty good work, and we ain't done yet.
I'm up next. I have Metal Gear, NCAA football, and in hindsight, Metal Gear was a reach, was a panic pick. I still like it. I'm still glad. Like, as I slip into insanity alone on my desert island, I don't know any game series that is a better fit for that than Metal Gear, so it's still a strong place in my roster. Just in hindsight, I wish I'd rearranged the big board a little bit better, because I'm choosing between a lot of strong picks. Microsoft Flight Simulator is very high. A quality way to leave my desert island and to just, I think the ultimate goal with, you want a game where you can just sort of delete a weekend, just disappear, vanish. No game does that better for me than The Sims. If you know, I play The Sims like once a year and it's like, what the fuck just happened? Where am I? It's Wednesday now, right? Also City Skylines, the City series is basically just one game you play. That's fine. I would take that over SimCity. and I am also considering the one that I think I will pick. This would go a bit differently if I'd freed up a pick due to better management. I'm going to go with the Endless Universe. Endless Legend and Endless Space, in my opinion, is the best Civ-style game. It builds on the Civ format in really creative ways where, like, every faction is, like, game-breakingly different. And obviously one of them is very space. I love space, sci-fi, that type of stuff. You have, like, it just wildly different nations. I could easily just delete a week with that on my list. And There could be. I would throw this to a separate judging committee, but they also have made a Civ-style game with like real-world nations, Romans and Americans and so forth called Humankind. I don't think it connects, but if someone were to throw that on my pile as well, I wouldn't turn it away. I haven't played it yet, but that is my choice. Up next, the public at large will be deleting for us. Wow. Pokemon is gone.
Yeah, I was going to say Pokemon is going to be in there eventually because I know it's up there.
Pokemon is off the list. Okay. Strong performance by everyone. Public at large.
Can I pump us up for a little bit? I think we all did a very good job of assessing both our strengths and our shortcomings as we move forward. I think we're all in a very like honest place with ourselves, and I just appreciate the accountability that's being shared among this fellowship here.
Good job, crew.
Yeah.
The public at large coming in strong with Tetris, Call of Duty, and Pokemon. The complete human brain right there.
I said the three genders a minute ago, but that might actually be it.
I mean, how many games do you get with the Pokemon series? You get a ton of games.
A lot. The wiki breaks down, you don't get Play It, Puzzle, Park, Snap, or Stadium. Stadium's a big loss, but still, with the Pokemon series, I mean, each one of them is two games, and I don't even know how many that is. 10, 20, right? So yeah, just the Pokemon series alone, that's a shitload of game, even though it's the same thing over and over. All right, so the mystery round, and I want to emphasize I did not plan ahead for this. I tried to sort of compartmentalize. The mystery round is going to be you can only select games that are listed on the sheet that start with the letters Q, W, X, Y, or Z.
No!
Q, W, X, Y, or Z.
And the... We're going to add a stipulation here. The public at large, the games they will be removing, there will be more than one. It will be Worms, WWE, WWF, and the Witcher series.
Oh, damn. They took Witcher. Okay.
They took Witcher and WWF No Mercy.
Devastated, y'all.
Q.
My favorite game is gone.
Holly, what was it? What are you?
Oh, you guys, this is why I was insisting that Cerber's pick was not lame. My like all-time favorite childhood game is Bubsy the Bobcat.
Wow.
Specifically Bubsy the Bobcat 2, where he takes his niece and nephew to a museum and they have to fight their way through like a haunted art museum. Okay? Bubsy was like a knockoff Sonic game if you've never played it, and I really wish they would put it on Switch Online because I've been trying to figure out how to hook a Sega Genesis 3 up to successive series of flat screen televisions for like 20 years so I can play this game. Cause this is one of those where like, this is just like my brain needs to turn off while I think about a story or something. And I go straight to this game. There are a couple of updates that they made later on that were kind of lame, but I really only liked the first two games and I knew no one would grab it in a million years, but the alphabet has done me wrong.
So what are our Q?
Q, W, X, Y, Z.
W, X, Y, Z.
Nothing on my original board was any of those. Wow.
I will buy all time. I will now for the first time, this is honor system, all right? I didn't plan ahead. I will for the first time look at which games are contained in there. In Q, we have Qbert, Kix, Quix, Quake, Strong, and Quest for Glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. W, looking at it now. Where's W in the alphabet?
You get Wario.
Wait, whose turn is it?
It's mine. First. You're getting Ultima, because Uncharted, Unravel, Unreal, and Olridium. V, there's lots of games. W, there's a long list. Yeah, Warhammer, Wario.
Oh, man, Zoo Tycoon
Wolfenstein is on here.
Mm-hmm. Wave Tycoon. Race! the cruelest game to play on an island.
X, you're getting... Okay, I see my choice. I'm taking XCOM. Shout out to Jake Solomon.
Dude,
Go Sooners.
Yakuza's still on the board, which really surprises me, Spencer.
Y, you got Yakuza, Yoshi... You don't know Jack if you want to play trivia against yourself. Z, you got Zoo Tycoon. I'll recommend. We'll put on for Zoo Tycoon.
Imagine if the only person you had to talk to was the You Don't Know Jack voice.
So can we just grab one here? Because it's, I believe it's my call.
Yeah, you're up next.
I'm taking the Yakuza series.
Of course
you are. Yakuza series is hilarious. There are approximately 3,000 of them, and all of them are side-splitting, pointless, and very violent. So... I'm going to do that because I can actually sit there. I get a little bit of the Rock Band experience because there are multiple karaoke mini games across the franchise. So I'll be sitting Dame Dine to myself on a beach. Yakuza.
I'm sorry. I don't know any of these games. I'm trying to figure out.
Wave Race!
Wave Race is your choice.
I forget whether I've officially included you in V or not, so I don't know.
I'm going to take Wrecking Crew now that I see it's a Mario game.
Wrecking Crew?
Yeah. I never heard of this, but it says it's a Mario game.
Okay.
Wait, are you and V included? Because if so, that opens Virtua Tennis back up for Ryan.
It does.
Yeah, I think I think I mentioned it the second time, so let's go ahead and throw it in. Wrecking Crew. Looks like this was a 1984 arcade game starring Mario and Luigi. Wow. Yeah. Server has found a Mario game.
Just found that shit amongst some coconuts.
Amongst the rubble. Virtua Tennis is tempting.
It's right there, man. It's
Wave
right there.
Race is tempting.
Wave Race!
None of the Q games are at all tempting. I'm actually going to take Uncharted.
Strong.
That's a good call. Yeah, strong call.
Perfectly entertaining. Doesn't really... I don't really have anything that really fits in with that. So, and it's like, what, 5 games or so? So, yeah, I feel fine with that.
You got a lot of music here, and you got a shitload of story between Zelda, Halo, and Uncharted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, you're going to be busy, man.
Holy shit. This Wrecking Crew game, it says, Mario or Luigi attempt to destroy all of a certain set of objects with a large hammer. This is a Gallagher video game.
We've come back all the way around.
Come right back around there.
Wrecking Crew NES Watermelon. Let's see.
Okay. Is it me?
I think so.
Yes. Holly, you have the final selection.
Yeah.
With the just learned knowledge that this random tabletop RPG that I played as a hot weather goth is now being resurrected as a video game, I am also going to look ahead into the future and play something that I have never played as a video game before and take Vampire the Masquerade.
Ooh. Good
there
call.
It is. Boom.
There are allegedly... So this was a tabletop game that was popular amongst my middle school, and they have put out 3-4 games since... oh, this feels like a sign. Y'all, they have put out 4 games since 2019. The next one releases day after tomorrow. Tomorrow, if you are listening to this episode, the day it drops. And it's called Parliament of Knives. That feels like it's meant to be.
It was you.
Perfect. It was.
The Parliament of Knives was you all along.
Hell yes. I love knives.
The friends
and
you made
parliaments
along the way were knives.
This is great.
I'm Holly, Prime Minister of Knives.